This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
I'm doing terrific, guys. Always good to come in and talk a little Auburn sports. But
yeah, even though we didn't have a game to talk about from last week, we did have an open week. We asked you a week ago, going into that open week, what Auburn's goals were for that week. Now it's game week, and I wonder if some of those goals that they had for the open week were met. Brian, any thoughts?
I think so. I think this team is a little bit healthier and going to be much more ready to go out there and put a full squad on the field against Texas A&M, especially on defense. We talked to Trey Williams, I guess it was Sunday night, and he said he's doing much better with his shoulder injury. He said that Trey Matthews and Javaris Davis, who both had hamstring injuries, were both at practice the other day. So I think that's a big boost for the defense.
Well, what was your take of A&M last week? You know, we saw them in their opening game against UCLA completely collapse, and then they kind of worked their way back up. And you're thinking, wow, man, this team's going to be a force. And then they just lay an egg at home last week against Mississippi State.
Yeah, and I thought that's an accurate description. I thought they did lay an egg. It looked to me like they were playing with a lot of passion out there. So, but I can remember a few years ago, they lost, I think it was 59-0 Alabama, and a few weeks later they came to Jordan Hare and beat an Auburn team that was number three in the country. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think Auburn can compare scores or, you know, get caught up in what Texas A&M did last week. They may be a team this week that gets their back against the wall and comes out with a little fire and a little passion. So I still think this is going to be a tough test for Auburn.
Brian, you mentioned last week that it was good to see Cam Pettway start to look like he looked through the majority of last year in the game against Arkansas, and he's got obviously another week to get healthy, like you mentioned. But it seems to me that having him with Kerryon Johnson, it's more than just having another back to share carries. They each have different skill sets, and it seems as though having them together is more than just, well, we've got two backs instead of one at Auburn. It seems like it helps that offense even more than just having an extra hand to carry the football.
I think it does. I think it helps with the confidence, and we have no idea what Auburn's going to look like with those guys healthy because we haven't really seen it since early last season. That was really before we knew how good Cam Pettway could be. I think this is important for the offense and could be a real boost for them going forward. Don't know exactly how Chip's going to get them together. Maybe he will put them on the field together. We'll see. But I suspect it'll be something just giving them, a different series here and there, maybe switching them in and out, and then maybe going with the hottest hand there in the fourth quarter or something similar to that.
Brian, would you say this is that Auburn's as healthy as it's been this season?
I think so. I'm not sure on the offensive line yet. I need to get some more clarification on how Casey Dunn is doing. I think that's an important one for the offensive line because if Casey can return, that allows Austin Gulson to go back out there to left tackle. And I think Auburn's going to need him at left tackle going up against A&M and then eventually Georgia and Alabama. They've all three got some good pass rushers.
Brian, I was interested in this, and we talked about it briefly last time out there, with some of the injuries along the offensive line without Casey Dunn and, with Mike Horton being out there as well. Markell Harrell had a start along the offensive line, and he was at left guard. I think he did well enough. What does that mean for the offensive line heading forward, particularly this week?
Well, I think he built more depth now. He's, I think, the eighth or ninth guy that started this season on the offensive line. And he's probably going to be a starter next year, so it's important experience for him. And I think it gives him options. You know, if Mike Horton can't come back, maybe instead of sliding Gulson to the guard, they can prepare on that spot and let Gulson play tackle. Like I said, with the pass rushers they got, if it's coming up, that might be the best move there. So I think it gives them some more options, but more importantly, I think it gives them improved depth and just more experience to a guy who they feel like is probably going to be a starter for the next couple of years.
Here's an interesting stat, and I did not realize this. Texas A&M has not won a home game in the Western Division since 2015. It's 2 years. This is a game that I think possibly Gus Malzahn cannot afford to lose. He's got a good team. They're playing well right now, but in terms of his status and his comfort level at Auburn, he can't lose this one, Brian. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think people are okay right now with how things are going a little bit. But I think they're right on that edge. That LSU loss was a big hit, for Auburn. And, I don't think they can afford a loss to Texas A&M, although, that doesn't necessarily mean, they're going to lose the next two SEC games, but it probably does. But, I don't think really his career at Auburn or this season will really be decided until Georgia and Alabama. I think those are the two that matter the most. But, I think it would be hard for him to win those two games if he can't beat Texas A&M.
Well, it could be an incredible November, Brian, if Gus Malzahn wins those three games, goes to Atlanta and wins. Might be the first two-loss team in a playoff. If they lose a couple of the three that we've talked about, it could certainly cause for some more unrest on campus. So to say November's important is an understatement.
Yeah, I mean, you go from Auburn fans being thrilled and competing for a championship all the way to, doing something that's never happened. Auburn losing to Georgia and Alabama four consecutive seasons. That hadn't happened in the history of Auburn football. So, yeah, there's two very, very different outcomes that Auburn could be looking at here over the next 4 weeks. So, and this is the game that sort of sets the tone for that.
Always good stuff from Brian Matthews talking Auburn and Texas A&M. Early kick. We had a caller earlier today complaining about the early kick on Saturday, Brian.
Never seemed to play well at 11 o'clock in the morning, at least in my memory.
Yeah, but I think it's better for the road team to do that.
You got
to
sit around.
Show up and just go out there and play a good game and get out of there and not get the fans quite as rowdy as maybe they would if it was a night game.
Well, if Auburn can win and Georgia beats South Carolina, there's a possibility they could be the primetime CBS game next week when those games roll around. So that might be something certainly to play for as the Dogs get ready to come into town. But first things first, the Aggies on Saturday morning, and Auburn's traveling out there. The third straight SEC road game, Brian, that's certainly not easy either.
It's not. Fortunately, they had that off week in between, so I think that's going to take the sting out of that a little bit. I think it'd be a little different. It was three straight in a row. But I think they're going to be fine as far as that goes.
Brian Matthews, AuburnSports.com, chock full of information. Great recruiting information right now. Mm-hmm. Up to date with the commitment list and potential visits. How do people get all of the information you provide at the website, Brian?
I appreciate Barry and John. And they can just go to AuburnSports.com and sign up online, check us out. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at BMATAU.
Good stuff, as always. Hey, Brian, thank you, buddy. We'll talk next week.